We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
West Virginia coach Bob Huggins previews tonight's Elon game down in Charleston, South Carolina. Listen to what he had to say coming up right after this.
West Virginia is a special place, but it's the people that make it special.
Honestly, it is the crowd. It's the people.
This is one of the great environments. There are no pro teams in the state of West Virginia. They love West Virginia sports right here.
This is the most underrated fan base in the country.
Grass resource, state of West Virginia, is not coal. Grass resource is its people.
Join the climb today at WVUtimeToClimb.com.
So, Bob, three games in 4 days in these tournaments. Do you like that setting in being able to play a lot of games, or would you rather have more practice time in between?
No, we want to play. I think these tournaments have been really good for us over the years. You know, you get a lot of experience. You get to play a lot of guys because it is three games in 4 days. So I like it. I think it's done a lot over the years to help us.
Next is John Antonik.
Along those lines, what is your philosophy for these? And it's really helped you, particularly when you get down into the NCAA tournament seeding. What is your general philosophy of how you play these games?
We want to win. I mean, that's first and foremost. You know, because you're playing three games in 4 days, you need to play more guys. And so we get guys in. You know, we've got some freshmen who are playing pretty well. We just haven't had an opportunity really to get them much playing time. And I think hopefully we can get those guys some playing time and kind of get them feeling a little more confident and a little bit better. But we just, you know, we've got so many new guys that we need to play. We need the time. I mean, it's one thing to go out there and do drills and practice. It's another thing to put some people in the stands and play against somebody that you haven't played against.
Real quick, you know, what can you tell us about Elon?
I think they're a good team. They shoot the ball really well. I was able to watch two of their games, and they, you know, they get on a roll. They really make a lot of shots, and defensively they mix it up a little bit. They're going to play a little 1-3-1. They're going to play a little 2-3. They're going to play some man. So that'll be good for us as well.
Go to Kevin Kinder.
Going along with that, you know, playing a number of games and getting prepared,
some of these tournaments and early out of conference games get overlooked on your NCAA tournament resume. Did these become even more important as conference play gets tougher and tougher? I mean, this year the Big 12 might be even tougher than it has been.
Well, I think it kind of helps your tournament resume. I think over the years, some of the people that we've been able to play have played really well. I mean, for instance, we beat Western Kentucky last year, you know, in a tournament, and that helped us. Western Kentucky had a heck of a year, and they were a team that I think the committee thought a lot about. So, you know, I think it's a situation, and with this tournament, St. Bonaventure is probably going to win their league. I mean, they've got everybody back. They're experienced. They're really a good team. Hopefully we get to play them. I mean, I think this tournament has probably as good a good field as any we've played against. And, you know, and things happen. It's kind of like a year ago or 2 years ago, whenever it was, when we ended up in South Dakota. Were we in South Dakota? In South Dakota, I mean, that field was all high majors. Duke was supposed to be in that field. And then, you know, because of the COVID and because of some people just didn't want to travel and play, I think that field kind of got dummied down a little bit, but still it ended up being a pretty decent field.
Justin Jackson.
Coach, I was talking with Taz the other day. He was talking about these tournaments and the fact that you guys have gone in, you know, kind of like you mentioned, you won last year, and I believe the year before that down in Cancun as well. So, I mean, you guys have had some success playing in these tournaments. Is there a difference in having a team that's, you know, kind of tournament prepared and different than just a regular, you know, regular season game?
Well, I think to a large degree, Justin, you end up toughing it out in these tournaments. You know, we're going to play a couple of days, have a day off, and then play another game. So, you know, you got to be ready to play. But I think it's good preparation for the NCAA tournament. NCAA tournament, you're going to play, you know, a couple games in 3 days, generally. So, I mean, I think anything that we can do that is particularly with this team. I mean, this team has got – we got so many new guys and so many guys who haven't played in tournament settings, and we're going to play before it's all said and done. We're going to play three or four freshmen. I mean, they're just getting better and better in practice every day, you know. And it's good for our bigs. I mean, our bigs are starting to get kind of the hang of what we want done, and they're getting a little better. But we've got to continue to work with those guys and get those guys better. You know, the Taz and Sean and JB and those guys have a pretty good idea what's coming.
And then kind of going off what you were talking about with Elon, could this be the best shooting team that you guys have faced so far this year? I mean, I know people will say Elon is Elon and might not expect a whole lot, but just by going by what they've done so far, it looks like this might be one of the better shooting teams you guys have faced.
Well, they've shot it really well in the games that I've watched. You know, they're really good if you give them step-in shots. You know, yeah. You got to make them play on a run. You got to make them play a little faster than what they want to play. But that's the case with a lot of people that we play. I think the more we speed them up, I think the harder it is for them to score baskets. You know, I mean, everybody grows up standing there shooting step-in shots, right? And I mean, nobody's practicing dribbling up and down the floor shooting up jumpers. Everybody's at half court shooting step-in shots. So I think everybody does get a lot better. But, I mean, these guys really shoot the ball. They if you give them a crack, they've got a great chance to make shots.
Back to Greg.
So, Bob, a couple games in, what are your thoughts of those newcomers you were talking about, both the transfers and also the freshmen? Give us a look of your perception.
Well, a couple of freshmen are a lot better or have I shouldn't say a lot better. I think they may be a lot more prepared to play than what some of the other guys are. We've got so much work to do, you know, that because we've got guys that have played a lot of basketball albeit at a lower level. And so you get away with a lot more at a lower level. And I think that's kind of what, you know, our guys say to me, you know, man, I didn't know it was going to be this physical, or man, this is a whole lot different than what I've been playing before. And I think that's the more you get to play, the more you kind of realize what you got to do, the better prepared you are. So, I mean, I want to play as many games as we can play. But I'll say this, the progress that we've made from Dayton until now has been immense. I mean, it was hard to watch the Dayton scrimmage, actually.
John?
Was the defensive performance against Pitt as good as it looked, or 32 turnovers, or was it a matter of you guys capitalizing on some of their issues in the backcourt?
Well, I thought our ball pressure was really good. I thought our ball pressure was actually exceptional. They shot 58%. We can't let anybody shoot 58%. And I can't remember the last time anybody shot 58% against us. You know, that's not good defense. But a lot of those came on second shots. A lot of those came as a result of defensive breakdowns by guys who just hadn't played very much.
Yeah.
But a lot of it was off the offensive glass as well, and that's obviously a no-no for us.
We looked on there, 34 of their 40 shot attempts were inside. So, to your point, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, the ball pressure was good. The ball pressure was really good. We created what turnovers. We sped them up, and then, you know, our inside guys just didn't do a very good job. We didn't rebound it very well. We didn't make rotations. We just didn't do a whole lot of good things inside.
Ryan Pritt, go ahead.
Hey, Bob, I kind of wanted to ask you about the rebounding. The numbers in the Pitt game obviously were what they were, but you know, they're probably skewed a little bit by the amount of turnovers you forced, and they shot it 19 times less than you, I think. But you know, did you see any improvement from game one to game two on the rebounding side of things, and where do you still have to get better at?
Not very much. Well, we got to block people out. I mean, you can't just turn and look at the ball and try to go get it. You're going to have other people inside of you. You know, the whole deal is you got to stay inside of them. You can't let them inside of you. And we didn't do a very good job. And we have spent a good deal of time here in the practices that we've had of keeping people on our backs. And we're big and strong enough to do that. You know, we just don't do it. And we have a tendency, the ball gets shot and we don't, all the heads go up in the air and they watch the flight of the ball. And by the time they watch the fly of the ball, the other team's at the rim and we're not. So it's an area that we've spent a good deal of time on.
Justin?
Coach, through the first two games, I was wondering if you could kind of break down Sean McNeil's game. I mean, obviously the Oakland game, they kind of threw that wacky zone and, you know, obviously that pretty much keyed on him a little bit. The Pitt game, he basically had the same numbers as he did against Oakland. I'm just kind of wondering what you're seeing with him and you know, going forward with him, what's he got to do?
Well, I think the biggest adjustment for Sean is he's playing against really good athletes now. And they're giving him a lot of attention. They don't help off of him at all.
Yeah.
You know, so the shots that he was getting off penetrating pitch, he's not getting now because they don't leave him. Now, the good thing about that is when they don't leave him, that opens up a much bigger lane to the rim for us, for the rest of us. But, no, he's got to do a better job using screens, and he knows that. I mean, I think he and Taz both are, you know, they've kind of carried us, but they're capable of so much more.
There were times against Pitt where a couple of drives by Malik come to mind, and I think there may be some other straight line drives that you got. Maybe Kedrian got one. I think maybe a dunk on a straight line drive. Are those basic? When I ask this. Are those opportunities there because they are not coming off, Sean? is that kind of a direct result of that almost, or?
Well, I think all but one of those came off of a triple stack high where we just bust guys out of there. And when you're lining up Sean and Taz and JB up there, you better run to each one of them. So that spreads everybody out. That gives those guys an opportunity basically to play one-on-one. Play one-on-one where they can, if they can get it at the rim, that's great. If they can't get it at the rim, to penetrate and pitch it. And I think it's just been a bit confusing to the opposition, and that one of them is going left like crazy and the other one's going right. And even though, you know, one's left-handed and one's left-handed, or one's left-handed and one's right-handed, you're still kind of looking to figure out which one's going which way and who's there to pitch it to. And, you know, that's been really good for us. I think that's something that we'll continue to work at and hopefully get better at. The penetrating pitch part of it's what we need to get better at.
Joe Picado and then Greg.
Coach, you mentioned the freshmen and getting them some more time. How valuable is it to have the experience of being around the guys 24/7 for basically an entire week and preparing for these three games?
Well, I think in the old days it was really helped a bunch. And nowadays guys come in the summertime. They've been here all summer. They've been here all summer with our guys, and our guys have been really good at helping them and, you know, going to the gym with them and kind of helping them with, you know, you're going to have to work on this or that. Gabe and Taz have been particularly good with that part of it, just helping those young guys out. It's as the rules continue to change, so do the way you go about doing things. What rules we have left, I guess.
Go ahead, Greg.
Bob, I asked you about this last week or the week before, whenever, but red shirts in terms of potential to redshirt some players. You said you were still sort of pondering that at that point. Have you made any decisions? And is James Okonkwo definitely going to have to redshirt, or is his injury getting better?
Well, he's worked out the last couple of days. I mean, obviously he's way, way behind, because I think he's had two practices. Well, he had a couple before he got hurt. So he's had maybe three or four practices. You know, I'm not at the point where I can tell you yes or no. You know, we can play him a game or two and still redshirt him. So I tell you, he does some really, really good things. And he does some, you know, kind of some things that you just kind of turns your head, you know, that he does things, quite frankly, that our other bigs can't do. So, you know, I got to obviously check with the medical people and see, you know, what kind of time limit there is for him, or if there is one. He's been in the training room the whole time, so he doesn't know the sets very well. But his skill level is better than just about every other big we have.
Ryan?
Well, speaking of the young guys, I think it was a week or two ago, Taz was talking about, you know, kind of, you know, his tendency to maybe pass up a shot here and there to get a younger guy, newer guy a shot to kind of get them comfortable in the offense and get them some confidence. And I'm sure Sean's probably got some of the same things on his mind, your leaders. But, you know, how tough of a balancing act is it for those guys when you're depending on their points, but at the same time, they're trying to get other guys involved in the flow too. Is that kind of tough for them? And how do you kind of talk them through that?
I'll time out and tell them to shoot the damn ball. Those two guys, if they have openings, they've got to shoot it. I mean, they mean too much to us. And I think that happened to JB. You know, JB struggled there early, but I think a lot of it was he was trying to help the younger guys, and he was trying to be a good teammate and all those kind of things. And I got him in practice, said, listen, man, if you're open, shoot the ball. If you don't, I'm going to take you out. So, and then he turns around, and I thought had a heck of a game against Pitt. you know, those three guys, those three guys really are, it's hard to guard all three of them, you know, and if we can get, a post guy in there that could actually catch and score the ball, that would really help us. You know, that would take a lot of that help away on penetration.
John, as we finish up.
Yeah, last one for me, free throw shooting. The wrong guy shooting them, or are you concerned about it?
I don't think it's the wrong guys. I mean, I'd like to have Taz shoot them all, really. But he's not shot very well. We're at, 51% or something like that? That's atrocious. I mean, that is absolutely atrocious. But, you know, a lot of things happen. I mean, we were shooting pretty well, and then, you know, school started, and they had to go to class and all those other things they have to do. And I think the NIL thing has kind of been on their minds. And so I just don't think we've got as many reps as what we normally get. And we had to talk about that yesterday, actually, that they better get their behind in there and get to the free throw line and start shooting free throws.
Is that going to impact what you do at the end of games? Who's in the game if they can't make them?
Well, I would bet that Taz, Sean, and JB are going to be in the game. I would say that probably Cinny won't be, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to play the guys that we think can make free throws.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Maybe a little carrot for you. You want to play at the end of the game, make your free throws.
You know, I could offer some of them a truckload of gold, and I don't think it would much matter. John, they're still not going to make enough to get the gold.
And that was West Virginia coach Bob Huggins. The Mountaineers and the Phoenix are scheduled to play at 9 o'clock. Game will probably tip closer to 9:30. Will be televised nationally on ESPN2. Thanks for listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.